We are now going to cover. I mean, it's very fortunate, by the way, you do have symbols. Don't go fighting symbols just because I said that they haven't spot them. It's very fortunate you have them, because the truth of the matter is, it's a wonderful code system until somebody begins to louse it up. A symbol is as good as it represents exactly what it is, and it's as bad as it starts to represent something else. A symbol never gets dangerous till it gets into an abstract state. You don't have any trouble with this word space. You might have trouble with space, but you won't have much trouble with the word space. See, and you won't have any much trouble with a lot of things. But carrying on here this afternoon, we have a very, very important... by the way, this is quite important to you, is I don't happen to be covering this stuff at length. You better alert to that fact. I'm not covering anything at length. Now, a lot of times when I find people very pleasant and agreeable and life is running along very smoothly and I don't intend to get an exact certain job done with a unit, I'll talk and so on just to be a good talker and amuse the audience and so on. I don't happen to be doing that now. Of course, you can't resist throwing a few punches around, but the stuff I'm giving you is rather terribly condensed. If you knew how terribly condensed it was, you'd probably be upset. We covered this same material in 3 weeks with the first unit. 3 weeks of approximately 3 hours a day. First unit, by the way, occasionally thinks of these SOP-8C as a new technique or something of the sort, and so on. As a matter of fact, they were trained in it, but they were trained in its basic theory. And they come out with extrapolations of it, of course, because that's what they were trained to do. And it's very amusing that they're... orientation on this is slightly apologetic because they're departing from a rote procedure slightly. But they're departing from it on exact solid theory. And they're departing from it along the line of a theory, which of course leads them anywhere. They can go all over the hills and far away and still get results on a pre-clear. They're just applying these basics. All right, what we're going to talk about today and probably never will mention again is randomity and automaticity, and I'm going to tell you all about it in about 50 minutes, and I'm never going to talk about it again. Now, that isn't, let's hurry up and grab onto all these symbols and so forth, but let's get a clear-cut picture of these two things, recognize that they are definitions, that the definitions are not necessarily true in the field of music, they are not necessarily true in the field of making bread, but they are very definitely true in the field of Scientology, because when we use these, we get people out of their heads and in good shape. Now, we're getting people out of their heads, you know, and in good shape. Speaking of symbols. All right. Let's then go into these two things in their purest definition, which is to say, randomity is the ratio of predicted to unpredicted motion. Minus randomity is where that fraction is greater than one, and plus randomity is where that fraction is less than one. Reversely, if it were the ratio of unpredicted to predicted motion, minus randomity would be where the factor was minus less than one, and plus randomity would be where the factor would be greater than one. So I don't care which way you state it. It all adds up to the same word, the same thing. But because we've already said minus, the latter definition is the one you will be asked to put down on a quiz paper. So the only reason you get a quiz is it's a precise definition. You know, it's one thing to teach somebody the airy theory of something or other, another thing to ask him, point to an ashtray. When he points to the chandelier, you know he doesn't know what an ashtray is. The kind of data we're handling here happens to be of that order. Ashtray. Space. Space is something. It is a viewpoint of dimension. Communication is something. It is a message or a particle going through distance in a certain direction between two exact points. That's a communication. And randomity is, in spite of the fact that it embraces randomness, is a precise definition. And it is the ratio of unpredicted to predicted motion. And that is exactly what it is, and that's all it is, and it isn't anything else. And it's what thetans make games out of. And if you don't know that, why, then you can't produce game. See, you'll be fumbling around wondering what people have fun playing. Truth of the matter is, they'll play anything that has a randomity that has to an agreement with what they think is fun. If you have a minus randomity, that is to say less randomity than what they think is fun, then they won't enjoy the game. And if you have more randomity than what they think is fun, they'll say the game's too fast and too hectic. Just like you're going to say this crowded-in patch of data here right at the beginning of the course, which we're going to then forget all about and keep jumping on you about all the time, is much too much randomity. But can't be helped. Here's this definition. Random what? Random motion of particles. Well, what's random about it? That which is random about it is that which is unpredicted about it. And that which is not random about it is that which is predicted about it. So we take this magazine and we say the magazine is here. We're going to put it over here at the other corner of the table. We do so. It's a predicted motion. That's cause. We say, all right, here's a magazine, and Lord knows where it's going to go. Look, it stopped right still. Terrifically random. I expected it to skip. That's unpredicted. But it still caused it to the degree that I threw down the magazine. All right, we're all sitting in here, feeling happy as can be, and all of a sudden, a kid jumps through the ceiling and throws a baseball at Ross. Now, he is a particle who is coming through an unexpected place, and he does an unexpected thing with another particle. Well, there's two unpredicted motions. See, they're only unpredicted because the unpredicted part of the action is only this. Ross didn't predict it. See, we don't have to go into patterns or they follow smooth flows or there are parallels on the hexagons or anything like that. See, nothing but. All we've got to do is realize that we are dealing with knowingness, not dealing with patterns of particles. And then we will get what randomity is. It's a very simple thing that's been kicking around for a long time, but it needs a terrific amount of explanation. A few sentences anyway, because you're going to be living with it. You've been living with it for 76 some trillion years, and you haven't got it solved yet, so it's about time we nailed it. Now, when a preclear is bad off, he has a fixed randomity. That we were calling, because I didn't want to start into randomity yesterday, I called a survival pace. Soldier in the front lines is acclimated on a survival pace. Well, that's his randomity. Bullets flying all over the place and so forth. He can predict this. He's finally figured out a way to predict this. You don't get hit till the one comes along that's got your name on it. See, he predicts it. He handles it in this fashion. He says, well, up here, guys get killed. Then he develops a sixth sense, so he isn't where the bullet hits. And then he becomes unkillable. He actually does this. But that's his level of knowingness pitched against the flow of particles. Now, in order to have a flow of particles, you have to have space. So it follows that an individual who has any randomity at all must have space. So an individual who is fighting randomity runs himself fresh out of space. In wanting the space, too much randomity. So he says immediately, well, the way to cut down randomity so I don't have to predict it, just have no space. Ha! No particle flow. Ha! Sit still. Simple. Nothing unpredicted about that. Hope. And he gets a somaticness done. So that becomes no solution. Because he can't exist and live without space. And so he always has some space. And in the effort to cut it down to a minimum, he merely brings in and tries to hold still the particles so he can predict them. Well, he has become effect at this time, and he is quite convinced that he is effect and that he'll go on being an effect. We have to move him over to cause. How do we move him over to cause? Simply by making his level of knowingness sufficient to predict the course of particles. How far do you think you could drive an automobile if you couldn't predict the course of that particle on a highway and the course of other particles on the highway? What interval of time is it necessary for you to have in order to predict these particles? Not a very long interval of time, true, but you should have several seconds. And a driver, yes, because when a driver is driving along the road in a fairly relaxed condition, as he often does, the oncoming cars, he sees these oncoming cars actually several seconds before they will actually impact. He sees them start to do something funny. That's the normal course of driving. And so he puts on his brakes or he speeds up. Now, you had it gauged there for a moment against an accident. Well, of course, in an accident, his level of knowingness has been exceeded, or the mechanical ability of the car to be controlled has been exceeded. And so we get on either side the particle failure or the knowingness failure. That's what we call a mechanical failure in an airplane. Airplane's flying along, and all of a sudden it goes boom and explodes all over the sky. Nobody could predict that one. Why? Well, it's a mechanical failure. The fellow who predicted it, or could predict it, is a long way from there. And he is the fellow who designed, or the fellow who built, the airplane. But that still was, at one time, a predicted motion. It was predictable at one time and wasn't predicted, and that we call a failure. Therefore, what is a failure? A failure is a predictable motion which wasn't predicted. What is being wrong in terms of motion? Being wrong in terms of motion is realizing that one had the capability of predicting a motion and he didn't predict it. So now he knows he is wrong. Why is he wrong? His level of randomity has been exceeded. See, he all of a sudden got a high level of unpredicted motion to the level of predicted motion he was operating on. What's the tolerance of a thetan? What in exact mathematical terms would be the tolerance of a thetan in terms of unpredicted motion to predicted motion? The tolerance of a thetan in this ratio of unpredicted motion to predicted motion would be 100/1%. A thetan can tolerate 100% unpredicted motion. That's why people go to amusement parks. They try to attain this 100% of unpredicted motion. And they try to still leave around and leave as much as possible some predicted motion. I mean, they try to leave that aside, but it's always with them. They, for instance, can predict gravity. So on, where they actually get to is far, far short of their 100%. But because they can't get unpredicted motion, they settle into a rut of a survival pace. You see, they wanted unpredicted motion, and they couldn't get it, and they were too smart for it, so they cut down their knowingness and fixed their survival pace at a lower pitch so they could get some randomity. Why do people come downhill? They want some unpredicted motion. That's what they want. Well, they fought predicting motion because a thetan can predict motion at I don't know what distance into the future. I dare say that a thetan in good shape could predict the course of an air particle now floating in this room for the next 1,000 years and probably draw it down to the finest pinpoint. And yet that air particle will probably flow all over Earth and be in every town and hamlet you can think of. And he'd know exactly what moment and what year it would be in what town and what hamlet. I mean, here's prediction of motion. He probably would just know this. Well, imagine the poor plight of this beast, this thetan. Let's just imagine the poor plight of the poor fellow. He has this terrible situation on his hands. He knows everything. Well, he can predict everything. Poor fellow. No game. He knows who's going to win. Well, actually, he doesn't get trapped in this and doesn't cease to be a game. Until he becomes unwilling to duplicate. He has to have original motions. Now, it's enough of an unpredicted motion for a thetan to put something in a little black box, close the box down, and then forget what he put in it, and then open the box up again and be surprised. That's your first level, really, at least for our purposes. Your first level of randomity is just doing something so it'll surprise you. And you'll find preclers playing this with somatics. Real cute. They do things that will surprise them. Here we have a pretty easy problem. Why does life become serious? It becomes serious because one has too much unpredicted motion. His consideration alone governs whether he likes it or dislikes it. So he's decided to dislike a certain breed of unpredicted motion. So he fights it. So he becomes to himself unpredictable. Because by fighting it, he becomes a symbol or a mass. He becomes himself a particle. Most people think of themselves as a communication particle. If you were to put a stamp on the forehead of most psychos in an institution and drop them in a letter box, they'd be real happy. They're a message en route someplace. They're a particle. They can at least predict being a letter. All right, what problem are we faced with here in processing? The individual is trying to balance the desirable level of excitement against the desirable level of security. All excitement depends upon unpredicted motion. And all security depends upon predicted motion. So the day he believes he can be destroyed, he gets interested in predicted motion. Up to that time, he isn't even vaguely interested in it. He can't get enough unpredicted motion. Fella comes back to you and says, "Whee, isn't it fun to be a lightning bolt?" Striking all over the sky. Well, where does this take you in processing? Got it pretty clear. You've got a terrific security goal. He's trying to cut down his unpredicted motion. That means he's fighting unpredicted motion. By resisting it, he becomes it. So he's unpredictable, but sold on the fact that he has to have security. So he does the strangest thing. He has to have security, so 29 years of the service, which will retire him at 30 years, will find him resigning. And he says, "And I don't know why I did it." Now, the Thetan is doing nearly everything he's doing to himself. He has set up some automaticity in the past in order to accomplish some randomity. And this kicks back at him, and after a while he says, "I'm in terrible condition, process me." All right, what's automaticity? What's it got to do with randomity? Well, one of the ways you set up randomity is to set up a chess player. Sit down one side of a chessboard, you make a move, go around the other side of the chessboard, and you make a move against yourself, and then you go around the first side of the chessboard, you make a move, and go around the other side of the chessboard, and you make a move. And you try to fool yourself by saying, "Now look at here, here I am, I'm moving on both sides of this chessboard, one side after the other, and I know exactly, really, what moves I'm making against myself, and it's no fun." Did you ever play checkers or chess with yourself? Did you ever try to play bridge with yourself or something like that? You know what's going to happen. There's no opponent. So you decide the best thing to do is make an opponent. So you duplicate yourself, and then you say, "I've forgotten I've duplicated myself. So myself is sitting over there, but I don't know myself, and this is some other person. His name is Ragwallard or something. And there's this other guy. And now we're playing chess. But that isn't fair if you've only made him a part of a person, because he's not a worthy opponent. So again, there's no randomity. So you produce a chess player that knows as much about chess as you do. And you've immediately cut yourself to 20 on the tone scale. And any Thetan, given the slightest chance, will cut himself from 40 to 20, just bang, just like that, by producing the other chess player. Well, the production of chess players, of course, is a limited progress. I can sort of hear somebody saying, "I wonder whose chess player I am." You're wrong. you notice the cells have never given up this method of procreation. A cell is his own identity in his own son. And is his own identity in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th generation. I refer you to the first book, Cellular Division. The identity is the same. You know that is because I conducted a series of experiments on this subject. You don't know it is, but I know it is. On this basis, I trained a generation of cells to resist cigarette smoke blown at the culture. They'd all bunch over to one side of the culture. Well, it started out by blowing steam at them. They didn't avoid steam because it was just cold steam, didn't matter. And then substituted for the steam cigarette smoke, and then blew steam in, and then blew cigarette smoke, and then blew steam in. They finally would avoid the steam. But mind you now, cells will not avoid steam in a culture. And there's the nicotine poisoning and so forth kicks back, so they get trained. Now we go two generations down the line. No part of this culture was part of the experience, but the children were, are, here now. And these are the children of the same trained culture group. We blow steam at them. They duck. Cute experiment. Don't know why people didn't do it before, but that's because the field of psychology was not something you looked at. It was something you thought about and did something else with. But that experiment should have been the most basic experiment of psychology. It actually had to be done. You had to say, now, what's this being man composed of? Well, he's composed of cells, and all the cells are part of the whole, so the behavior of the cells should be a pattern of the behavior of the whole. And it could have been worked out that way very easily. Well, anyway, we did work it out that way very easily, and I'm very much richer for having conducted it because it cut an enormous section of knowledge away as not having to be further known. You don't have to study cells. Won't do you a bit of good to study biology in terms of life because the cell is a model. He works, he's happy, he's cheerful, and when he splits, he knows everything his ancestors knew because he is his own grandpa. Now, a thetan, however, in producing another chess player, of course, is both chess players. But he's now both chess players with this difference. He's himself now as both chess players with this single difference. One of the chess players has forgotten that he has been created. And the other chess player has forgotten that he did the creating. In view of the fact that theta has no mass, it becomes very easy to see that it doesn't matter which of the chess players you pick from. They are both the same chess player. You might say that they're both the same chess player and each has the memory he must forget. One, even the created chess player has to forget that he created a chess player. And so we have a game. And there we have games as the highest level of processing even yet. Well, this isn't very difficult. Here's automaticity. Comes in. He gets tired of playing chess. So he hangs a couple of ridges there to play chess for him. And lets them be the experts. Or he gets tired as himself of playing chess and he rigs it another way. He simply forgets he's one of the players and makes an automatic chess man. When he loses interest in the game, automaticity is what he sets up. He has, in other words, stopped duplicating and begun to set up automaticities. You could just go on duplicating, keep duplicating, keep duplicating. Why, you don't have to set up any automaticities at all. You just put yourself over in the corner doing things, and yourself in another corner doing things, and yourself in another corner doing something else. And they just keep on doing what they're supposed to do because they're all you, and all you have to do is pick the forgetter out of it. and bing-bang, you promptly are your own self again. Or you've just duplicated it all over. You train yourself up to make a lighted lamp in the middle of the room. You just put enough energy in the middle of the room to light the room, and then you you just duplicate yourself to do that. And you have, in essence, made, you see then, a duplicated self to perform a service. What's the difference between this and an automaticity? Well, there's damn little. As far as you're concerned, the definition evades any reason why we should explain it further. Well, we got to. Because a fellow stops duplicating and starts setting up ridges or postulates, symbols, machines made out of symbols, to which he feeds energy, and which of them appear to have their own volition. And so they what? They keep on performing the same function they were set up to do. Symbols. Let's give an example. This culture lets symbols do its remembering part. They let symbols do their knowingness. See? They let artificial entertainment, a sort of an automaticity, do their entertaining for them. Well, the difference between an automaticity and a duplication, something you better know. Because duplication would occur like this. If I put myself sitting over in that chair there, while I were still sitting here, and the self I put over in that chair was duplicate down to the last button and knowingness and action and volition, that would be a total duplication. Now, if I put a postulate over there and anchored it in place and said that it was then supposed to do something, that would be an automaticity. You set up this automaticity, you take no further responsibility for it after the moment you've set it up. You can't, because that's the condition with which you set it up. You say, all right, now we're going to get this, that, we're going to get this machine's going to set up, it's going to do so-and-so now. And it'll continue to do it. And rather than keep my attention on it, because you'd have to keep your attention on the postulate in order to set it there, you set it up in such a way that the postulate resists all effects and continues to operate. And you get a condition whereby your thinking is being done for you or something. You say, all right, now I'll set up a little machine over here that'll keep all the baseball scores. And every time I hear a baseball score, well, the machine will keep the baseball scores. And any time I want to remember a baseball score, why, this machine will just automatically forward into my hands a baseball score. You say, isn't that cute? As a matter of fact, the Thetan becomes fascinated setting up these machines. Believe me, it's just a machine. When I use the word machine, I'm using the word machine. A machine is something which manufactures, and which, by understanding, is something which has been manufactured and which then manufactures. It's a perpetuating manufacturing plant. All these ridges that you've been busy chewing up on free clears and so forth are their automaticities. They're set up machines. They set them up. They set them up for a purpose, too. Every one of them's got some kind of a handy little jim-dandy reason why. And he sets it up by saying there will now be this activity. And it will now hang heavily in energy. See, he doesn't have to do any more about energy than just say it'll be an energy, and it's an energy. And now it's going to feed an input between two terminals over here so that it'll run automatically thereafter, and I don't have to feed any more energy to it. It's real silly. But he doesn't have to keep his attention on it anymore. So naturally, he says it's an autonomous unit. It's going to sit there and do something, and it'll keep on doing this something for a long time. In fact, I set it up to resist all effects. Now I will hide it and forget about it. And that's the tail end of every postulate that sets up an automatic machine. I will now hide it, and I will forget about it. Then one day, you get him on the couch, and he's erasing facsimiles. That isn't a sudden jump. No, he lost a lot of things one time, so he set up a machine which would give him pictures of everything, so in case he lost something, he'd at least have a picture of it. And this machine would automatically take pictures of everything he had and everything he saw and everything he did. Of course, in the basic premise is, it's not being done for him so much as it's being done. And if he's going to take his attention off of it so he doesn't have to think about it anymore, he, of course, sets it up as a randomity. Now, actually, we've added nothing to the sum total of knowledge in Scientology up to that point. There we have something which the Thetan never figured out. He didn't see this was what was wrong. This never occurred to him, that every time he set up an automaticity, he got a randomity. Every time he set up a randomity, he got an automaticity. He knew these automaticities, one time or another, would suddenly start in and start butchering him. But he always counted on the fact that he'd just unforget them at that moment and blow them out of existence, because he always did it. And then one day, he forgets where he hid it. Or he gets a machine, he forgets he's got one kind of a machine, so he creates another kind of a machine, and it counters it. Then he doesn't know what the devil's happening. So he thinks somebody's interfering with his magic. They aren't. He is. He says, I can't get mock-ups. This is, becomes to you, after you understand this thoroughly, an idiotic remark. I can't get mock-ups, the preacher says. You say to him, well, what's the matter with you? Why don't you get mock-ups? Well, I don't know. It's probably that my mother chastised my imagination. Posh tosh. It's because he doesn't want to look. Posh tosh. No. He got a machine that says he doesn't get mock-ups. He put it there. It's his machine. Nobody else's. This is fantastic, isn't it? Where all these facsimiles come from? Well, he put up this picture-taking machine, and after that he had pictures and big, large chunks of energy and so forth. Well, actually, he has to know what happened in order to feed it into the machine in order to get a picture. And he has to create the picture exactly and accurately every instant that he's looking at the picture. There isn't a lump of energy which has drifted all the way along the track with the Thetan. His knowingness alone is responsible for his facsimiles, and they stem out of a machine. Therefore, the first time he made a facsimile as a geographical area becomes an important target, because it knocks out all the facsimiles out of the bank, just like that, boom. Doesn't knock any energy out of the bank, because there's none there anyhow. Now, I'm probably ranging way beyond your depth, and I see I've lost several. I don't care. Every time you start talking about this subject of randomity and the subject of automaticity, you kick on all the forgetters. You kick on all the automaticities. Then you wonder why you can't instruct the preclear, or you can't instruct the student. Well, I finally got this through my thick skull that this was all that happened, so I might as well spend an hour on it rather than 3 weeks. Now, why do you get a randomity every time you set up an automaticity? You've given into the hands of something else the right to predict some motions, which makes you unpredicting on that subject. So you have set up an unpredictability, of course. Otherwise, you'd have to remember it and regulate it. And if you don't want to remember it, you naturally set up an unpredictability. And the Thetan has never actually recognized this to the degree that he should have recognized it. If he'd recognized it adequately, he sure would have modified that basic postulate, resist all effects. He puts these automaticities up, these postulates up to resist all effects, including his. Well, this is nothing is more surprising to a pre-clear. You say, all right, unmark yourself there in the chair. Okay. Now mark yourself up to resist all effects. Okay, he says. Now unmark yourself. No, wait a minute, he says. Something happening here. And you say, well, what's the matter? I can't unmark myself. You want to know how dull somebody can get? It's a thetan on the subject of automaticity and randomity. You can play with that pre-clear for a couple of hours before, if you waited for him to find out, finally, the answer to this. He marked himself up to resist all effects. And then he says, unmark. See, he didn't modify it. He didn't say, resist all effects except mine. But then if he'd said, except mine on these automatic machines, why, these machines, of course, would have been a very strange thing. Every time he remembered them, they would have disappeared. He wouldn't have had any hattiness. He'd been in a tough spot then, wouldn't he? He wouldn't have had all these machines. Too much work, of course, and everybody knows that the thetan couldn't possibly do all these things consciously and keep his attention on 800,000 million things at once. Well, as a matter of fact, he can. He has systems by doing it, but he doesn't even need the systems. He can simply do it. I rode about four motorcycles the other day, all of them with different ships, and one right after the other. With no difficulty, simply because I wasn't counting on any training I'd ever had to ride a motorcycle or ride those motorcycles. And this was astonishing to the fellow who was down at the shop there. Well, these motorcycles had hand shifts and the foot shifts were on different sides and the hand brakes arranged differently and all that sort of thing. Well, all right, what's the answer to this? The answer was I didn't set up an automatic motorcycle riding machine in order to ride each motorcycle. I didn't go around and set up this machine and then go over it carefully and then read an instruction book. I wiggled the levers and found out where they were, but every time looked at the total machine to find out what you did now to slow it down while looking at the total situation. This doesn't mean I'm good. It just means I happen to be willing to look at the total situation and the machine I am riding rather than count on the reaction stimulus response mechanism of the right hand in order to put on the brake. Second you do that, you get in trouble, see? I mean, you've got a stimulus response mechanism. Any stimulus response mechanism is an automaticity, and that is the definition of a stimulus response mechanism. All psychology fights the stimulus response mechanism. Now we've defined it. It's an automaticity. What's an automaticity? An automaticity is anything a thetan sits up, anything a being sits up in order to do something for him, or run a pattern, or know something for him, or create something for him, for which he no longer wants to give it any attention. He isn't interested in it anymore, so he wants it done automatically. Every time he sets one up, he gets a randomity. Then he wonders why, after a while, his whole bank is butchering him. He's butchering himself, of course. He sets up a machine to make markups. Then he turns around and sets up a machine to make purple markups. And then one day, he's forgotten all about this because he told himself to, and the forgetter resists all effects and everything, and then one day he says to himself, I think I will have a beautiful blue mock-up. So he gets a beautiful blue mock-up with purple feet. And he says, oh, wait a minute. Somebody's interfering with my effects. I have a hidden influence operating in my vicinity. Oh, it is true what they've been telling me about God and the devil. God has accursed me now and is giving me purple mock-ups, and I guess that's because I was a bad boy. You see, I mean, it just leads into this and that. It's because he set up two postulates. One that says, now this will now give me mock-ups, and the other one, now this will now give me purple mock-ups. He forgets about both of them, and now he wants a mock-up, and he wants a pink mock-up, so this is going to cross with the machine which is resisting all effects to give him purple mock-ups. And you got a manufacturing plant difficulty, which is startling, to say the least. See, he just can't manufacture a mock-up now. Now, you come along as an auditor, and you say this pretty clear. Give me a mock-up now of a cat. The cat jumps all around the place, and it runs around, and it runs up on top of houses that suddenly appear, and it runs out in streets that suddenly appear, and it does all this. The preclear may be sitting there, somewhat amused, saying, well, now, yeah, I got a mock-up of the cat. You're a bad auditor these days if you don't say, all right, what is the cat doing? Just what I'm telling him to do. Okay, that's fine. But what about the fellow that says, oh, the cat's jumping over the house and it's running around the palm trees and it's just running in and out of the back door. It's a real cute cat. Now it's got green ears, got purple ears. Now it's got a big red blow. No, it's not. It's in a box. The only thing peculiar about this fellow is he has an automatic cat-moving machine to amuse himself. Because a thetan sets up automaticities to amuse himself. And then they get serious because they become too many of them. They get into conflict, so he takes life seriously because they interfere with his security of having anything. He gets beautifully snarled up about this, and because he started out by saying, I'm forgetting all this as fast as it happened, he naturally came up at length with no solution. Somebody had to come back and take a look and find out what he was doing. So Scientology has added to that randomity, automaticity, and in the accompanying processes, an actually valuable piece of data, which was really completely hidden from the thing. Well, why do you look at motion pictures and TV screens and read books? You ever run across this fellow who under no circumstances would ever take a book and glance at the last page to find out who murdered the guy before he read the rest of the book? You ever run across anybody like that? Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to spoil his unpredictability. He wants to go all the way through the book, see, and figure out who killed him. But the answer's right there. His search for unpredictability comes in conflict with this automaticity. Because he'll set up automaticities to be unpredictable. He'll set up one that will go this way. Every time I get a mock-up of an animal, why, its motions will not be predictable. And that'll be cute and it'll amuse him. So he'll be sitting out on cloud nine one day and enjoying himself very nicely, looking at a cat that is jumping all over. Now, you as an auditor ask him to get a mock-up of a cat. Well, this is Lord knows how long later and how many automatic conflicting machines later, so forth, and Mr. Cat runs in the front door and out the back door and over the roof and down the stairs and goes all over the place, and boy, is this cat running wild. What do you do to control a cat? And that's just a total subject that you really want to get into. In SOP 8.0, an individual has to be able to set up and take apart automaticities that work. He has to be able to take apart real automaticities, and he has to set up real automaticities. He has to set up machines to send him places. That one you'll get into right off the bat. Why are you asking so carefully, where are you not? Well, it's because about every third preclear out of five that sits down in front of you, if you say, all right, are you on this table, will be there. Why will he be there? You'll kick in the machine that sends him places. Life has gotten dull to him someplace or another. You see, his failure to duplicate, his unwillingness to duplicate, so life got dull to him. And it started changing places. I mean, he couldn't go into enough new places because every time he'd think of a new place, he'd know all about it. So he set up a machine so that he wouldn't know about new places and which would send him there. So every time he'd think of a place, the machine would send him there. And that was a lot of fun. Boy, he could go whizzing all over the universe. Then he'd forgotten about this because that's part of the condition of the machine. It won't work unless he's forgotten about it. And so here he goes, and you say, are you on the table? And his first answer, no. Well, no. Are you up in the corner of the rooms?
No.
He knows he isn't, but he's there. And you start asking him positive questions like this, and all you're doing is echoing or duplicating the automaticity as the auditor. So every time you kick in one of these machines as the auditor, and there's lots of them you can kick in, don't worry about kicking them in, the devil wouldn't. You get a resultant misbehavior on the part of the preclear's abilities. So it looks all very confusing to the preclear, and he thinks he's going nuts. Delusion is only and totally a machine which will give Guy unexplainable markups. Unpredictable markup. He won't even get facsimiles of the track he's remembering. He just sets up a machine to give him the most gorgeous pictures that have no bearing whatsoever on actuality. He does this out of boredom. So in licking boredom, he really aberrates himself. Now, you say these machines are really in his control. No, they aren't. He put them out of his control as their first condition. Just like you don't want to read the book so that you can read the book. Because, you see, you are a Thetan, and you are doing this right here in this life. You're trying to get unpredictability. Or isn't a person here, if the police were discarded and everything was thrown to the winds and you didn't have any particular agreed-upon responsibilities in one direction or another, wouldn't get out here and play cowboys and Indians like mad with real guns? That's a marvelous thing, but actually your search for unpredictability continues itself over into many ways. Continues itself over into sudden somatics and cherishing them and trying to get them instead of rolling on out with theta clearing. You got machines that turn on sharp and inexplicable pains. Don't think these machines haven't been set up with force. Every time a fellow sets up a machine, he's that much weaker. Because he sets up the machine as his boss, otherwise it can't dictate to him. So any time he sets up an automaticity, he's the effect of it. He wants to be waited upon, he wants to be amused, he wants to be this, he wants to be that. In other words, he wants to be an effect, wants to be an effect, wants to be an effect. So you're trying to get somebody out of his head and he's just an effect. Well, this is automaticity at work. You can't get him out of his head until he can be cause. Well, he can't be cause because he's got all these automaticities kicking him around. He's having a hell of a time. So there he is outside, and the first thing you know, he starts flipping all over the universe, and you can't find out what he's doing. Or he's in 80 places at once. That was a good, tricky machine, too. It was real confusing to him. He loved puzzles, but every one of these machines is set up with more energy than he now has. He thinks. All the machines are running faster than he is. They have to run faster than he is and have more particle motion than he has. And he has to then pretend after he sets up the machine he has less particle motion in order to be the effect of it. So he's running slower and slower and slower the more automatic machinery he has. And we get down to a point where the millionaire with 85 servants has gotten to the point where he can't move out of the living chair in the front room and he's real unhappy. In the Orient, it's enough to get a knife in your back to pick up your own glass and drink out of it. You put out your hand, you got a cigarette in it. You go to a party, there's a girl sitting behind you. She pours your wine, lights your cigarette, raises a cigarette to your lips so you don't have to puff on it. I expect some societies have existed where they had another girl on the other side to give your lungs a little push so that you'd puff. This is automaticity. It's no motion, too. But the more he struggles to get unpredictable motion, the less unpredictable motion he actually has. See, because he's fighting unpredictable motion. Well, you can look at this any way you want to, and it becomes a horrible problem, but the fortunate part of it is the solution is easily and simply stated. Anything the pre-clear is doing automatically, make him do himself. Precise definition of automaticity is a machine which has been set up by the Thetan to serve the Thetan. What do we mean by machine? Now, we mean something that's full of symbols and energy. When we mean just a machine, and by the way, it takes power to run. And the Thetan gives that power to the machine surreptitiously. After a while, he isn't giving machines enough power, and they quit running. The lines break down. Network breaks down. These fellows that are walking around so occluded have got machines that produce blackness.
automatically produce blackness. Well, things been very, very tricky with all this, but you as an auditor, have him right backed up against the wall. If you don't watch it, you'll take automatic machine after automatic machine after automatic machine away from somebody after he's exteriorized to a point where he hasn't any automaticities. Now, that's real sad. He gets real unhappy about it. There's nothing unpredictable about his own beingness. He'll come in after a while and he'll say, I'm only a concept. We'll give him a new machine or something of the sort and make him make one. So you have to train him how to make machines. Make them and unmake them. Make them and unmake them. Fix them up this time. However, with finite durations. We never did that before. This machine is good until August the 1st. This machine will resist all effects till August the 1st. August the 1st, he hasn't got it anymore. That'll surprise him, too. All right.